Good morning. This is Pastor Brad Ingram of the Truth Baptist Church in West Salem. Let me invite you again to any of our services. We have our Sunday school at 9:30, our morning worship at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and then Wednesday evening at 7. Also, beginning the 17th of this month, on a Monday evening, I will be starting a course in Baptist history. And if you're interested in this, then we invite you to come out every Monday evening at 7 at the church for Baptist history. And there is no charge for this class, and a notebook of information will be given to everyone who attends. And again, we invite everybody, if you are a Baptist, or if you're not a Baptist, but you're just interested in this, maybe curious of where the Baptists came from, what we believe, I think you'll find the study helpful. And again, that's beginning on the 17th of this month at 7 o'clock, and then every Monday following at 7 at the Truth Baptist Church in West Salem. Now, let me ask you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 23 for the message this week, Luke chapter number 23. And let me ask you to do this as well. If you're listening to these broadcasts on Sunday, and if they're a blessing to you, or if you have a suggestion concerning something that we can do to enhance the broadcast, I would appreciate you writing to us. Our address is Truth Baptist Church, P.O. Box 96, West Salem, Ohio, 44287. Again, that's Truth Baptist Church, P.O. Box 96, West Salem, Ohio, 44287. And I sure would appreciate it. I would be glad to hear from you. Luke chapter 23, if you have your Bible there, we're going to begin reading at verse number 39 and read through verse number 45. Luke 23:39, the Bible says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst." Now, this certainly is one of the most sacred passages of Scripture for the believer. In these verses, we read the account of our Lord's crucifixion, his agonizing death upon the cross to pay for the sins of all mankind. And what I want you to look at this morning as we look at these verses is this thief. The Bible says is one of the malefactors that were hanged with Christ. Remember, there were three crosses on Calvary. There were the Lord Jesus in the middle. On either side, there was a common thief who had been rightly condemned and was now receiving the reward of his iniquity. And think about it this way. Those three men on Calvary that day, one was dying in his sin, one was dying out to his sin, and the man in the middle was dying for sin. A wonderful thing Christ has done for us. But the message this week, really more of a Bible study today, if you're taking notes, this is a thought, essential beliefs, what you must believe concerning Christ and the Bible if you're to have eternal life. Now, I admit this may be sort of a controversial message. I hope it will not be. What I'm going to do today is I'm not going to put down anyone else. I'm just going to hold forth the position that the Bible is the Word of God, every word of it, from cover to cover. And I believe, and I hope you will when I give you some verses here today, that there are certain things that you must believe in order to have eternal life and to be sure of heaven when you die. Folks, this is a day when we're told that absolutes have no place in the world. If you say you believe something absolutely, dogmatically, you'll probably be called narrow-minded, or maybe even a bigot, or an ultra-conservative. But folks, the Bible is full of absolutes. The Bible says, gives a truth, and it is so. The Bible gives a prophecy, it will come to pass. And that is why I believe the Bible is so rejected today, and is not palatable to the natural man, because the natural man does not like absolutes, especially when those absolutes contradict his life or his belief. But I believe, again, I'm going to show you through this morning some essential beliefs that you and I must believe in order to get to heaven. And all these things were believed by this thief. That's what's so remarkable. This thief did not have any theological training. This thief did not have any formal schooling at all that we know of. This thief was not a Pharisee. He was no scribe. But yet he knew more than the religious movement of that day. I wonder how he knew those things. How could this common thief, how can this man who had been rejected by society and was now in his hour of death for his evil deeds, how could he know these things that even the learned scholars of Christ's day did not know? Well, I'm going to read you a portion now from John chapter 16, verse number 13. Here is how this thief knew these things about Christ. John chapter 16, verse number 13, the Lord Jesus speaking, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." And see, this verse shows us clearly who it is that reveals to us truth concerning Christ. It's the Holy Spirit of God. If you or I are ever to know Christ fully, and to come into a saving knowledge of him, that can only be done through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Christ was just saying very clearly here in the passage I just read to you in John 16, that the Holy Spirit, his ministry, his priority, his duty in this age is to reveal to us the Son of God, Christ. And I believe the Holy Spirit was working on Calvary that day in the life of this thief, to reveal to this thief some things that he must believe. And of course, we know that this thief was pleasing to the Lord, at least in his declaration, because the Lord promised that he would join him in paradise. I cannot think of a better promise to be given when you're at your hour of death and you're about to step over into the unknown. I cannot think of anything better to hear than to hear Christ say, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And I cannot think of any greater promise today, friend, than that I have heaven as my home when I die. I mean, can you think of anything more precious than that? If it doesn't mean that much to you in life, I assure you one thing, it will mean much to you in death. I have been called several times to the hospital, to the home, to the bedside of men and women who would not have anything to do with Christ when their health was good. Men who would not have anything to do with the church when their life was going well, their job was stable, they had vigor and vitality. But you let those men and women get near the hour of death when the doctor says there's really no more hope. Who do they call for then? They don't call for their banker. They don't call for their lodge buddies. They call for a preacher. "Let me talk to somebody who can tell me where I'm going to go when I die." And friends, if you want that same promise of heaven, there's some things that you have to believe concerning Christ, and they're all found here in the Bible. I'm not going to give you any church creeds. I'm not going to give you any extra biblical revelation here. Everything that you must believe about Christ to go to heaven is all found here in the Word of God. And so let's get right into the lesson this morning. First of all, if you're back in Luke chapter number 23, I want you to look at verse 40 again. Luke 23:40, the Bible says, "But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." You see it here? If you're going to know Christ, you must first believe what God says about your sin. This thief had no trouble admitting to himself, to the other thief, to Christ. He had no trouble admitting that he was a sinner and that he should have been there hanging on the cross. He said, in fact, that we are condemned justly. He said we're receiving the due reward of our deeds. And this is where most people stumble at the message of salvation. They will not acknowledge what God says about their sin. What does God say about our sin? The Lord says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that all of us have an evil heart. The Bible says that we were conceived in iniquity. And folks, that's the stumbling block for many people. They will not believe what the Bible says about their sin. And folks, you never come to Christ for salvation until you see yourself in need of salvation because of your sin. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, if you say you have no sin, then you make God a liar. Folks, I don't know about you, but I have no trouble admitting I'm a sinner because of my own practice and my own thought. And I wonder if I'm speaking to anybody today who's ever had a wrong thought, a wrong motive, a wrong action. And if you have, that's just a proof that you are a sinner. And you're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. You were born in sin, shaping in iniquity. And until you come to grips and until you come to realize and acknowledge what the Bible says about your sin, you'll never know Christ. No one calls for the physician when his health is strong and right. No one calls for the physician when he has strength in his body. But why, when do men call for the physician? When they see they're sick, when they see they have a need. And I want you to see this morning, this thief had no trouble whatsoever admitting he was a sinner. Look at how ludicrous it would have been. Look at how strange and how terrible it would have been if this thief could not have seen his own sinfulness as he was hanging there dying for his sin. What a strange thing, what an outrageous thing for this thief to hold on to his own righteousness while he was hanging there dying for being a thief. And yet that's exactly what many folks do today. They're living in a body of sin. They're living in a life of sin, and yet they still go on persisting. They're all right. Well, friends, God requires a perfect righteousness in order to go to heaven. And I don't have it, and you don't have it. The trouble is, you may deny your sinful nature, but that does not change it. The Bible is clear in what it says. All have sinned. That means you, means me, means our parents, our grandparents, all the way back to Adam. And for as long as earth shall endure, the last man that's ever born will be a sinner. And so this thief, first of all, realized he was a sinner, and that started him on this road to salvation. Now, how do you feel about your sin this morning? If you are thinking right now, that's not me, I don't quite agree with that, I believe man is basically good, then the rest of this lesson will probably not help you any. Until I had children, I didn't really understand and realize the whole truth about this idea of being conceived in sin. Now that we have two children, one on the way, I can see very clearly how that human experience will prove that we are born sinners. I did not have to teach my son or my daughter how to do wrong. It was instinctive in them when they broke something to try to hide it. It was instinctive of them when they did something wrong to run away from the scene of the crime, so to speak. You see, they knew how to do that already. No one had to teach them to be ashamed for their wrong action. No one had to teach them to cover up something they had broken. That is instinctive because they were born in sin. What we have to teach our children is to do right, to tell the truth, to accept responsibility. Those are the things that do not come natural to humans because we're born sinners. And so this thief believed what the Word of God had said about his sin. Now, do you? Okay, back in verse number 41 again. The second thing this thief believed is the sinlessness of Christ. Verse number 41, the Bible says, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." Notice this. Now, this thief says, "But this man hath done nothing amiss." What's he saying? He's saying, yes, we're sinners, but this man in the middle, he's done nothing wrong. He does not deserve to be hanging here on this tree. And folks, that's the way it is. When you see yourself as a sinner, if you're honest, you'll see Christ as the sinless one. And nobody gets to heaven without believing in the sinlessness of Christ. Let me say this also. If you believe in the sinlessness and the perfect nature of Christ, that implies that you also must believe in the virgin birth. Without the virgin birth, you have no sinless Savior. Because if Christ be not born of a virgin, then the taint of Adam's sin is in his veins, and he's just a sinner like me and you. Christ is, if he's not virgin born, And if Christ is not virgin born, he's going to hell when he dies, and we're all going to hell, and there's no hope for us. And so you cannot say that you believe in a perfect Savior, but you deny the virgin birth. Simply cannot be. I believe you must believe in the virgin birth of Christ to get to heaven. I say that because you cannot go to heaven calling God a liar. And think about how ridiculous that is. You're going to live forever with him, but you call him a liar. Simply doesn't work that way. You must believe what the Bible says about the perfect nature of Christ. Read the Gospels. I encourage you. Read the life of Christ. You won't find one wrong action, one wrong motive. Now, he was angry, but he was angry for a righteous cause. He had righteous indignation. But you won't find anything evil in the life of Christ. You won't find anybody bringing any charge that could stick against him. He had many false witnesses, but you'll never find any place in that Bible where the Lord sinned in any way, shape, or fashion. The only reason he died on Calvary is because, as the Bible says, he who knew no sin was made sin for us. He became my sin and your sin and died in our place. And the thief believed this. The thief had no trouble confessing that Christ is perfect. I have no trouble confessing it. And by the way, I'm glad he is. I'm glad I have a Savior who is not like me. I'm glad I have a Savior who doesn't think like me, doesn't act like me. I'm thankful for that. I'd have a pretty poor Savior if he was just like me. But he's not. He's high and holy, separate from sinners. Then the third thing here, if you have your Bible, go back to verse number 42 in Luke chapter 23. The Bible says here, "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He believed in the deity of Christ. What I mean by that is he believed that Christ is God. He did not simply say that he was a good prophet or a good teacher, but he's called him Lord. That refers to the fact that he is equal with God the Father. I hear so many folks say this. They'll deny that Christ is God, but they will give him the credit of being a good teacher or a moral man or a prophet. Let me say that is an outrageous position. It's completely untenable, because if Christ is not God, he's a liar. He's a fraud. He's a deceiver, because he claimed to be God over and over again in the New Testament. In fact, he said, "If you've seen me, you have seen the Father." He said, "Before Abraham was, I am," speaking about the I am that came to Moses in the Old Testament. And so you cannot say that Christ is not God, but yet he was a good man. No, if he's not God, he's a bad man. He's a liar. And no good man lives a life of constant lying and deception and wickedness and fraud. So you've only got two positions. Either Christ is God, or he's a liar and deceiver and a great sinner. But there's really no middle position in that whatsoever. And if you'll think about it logically, I believe you'll see that's exactly what the Bible teaches, that he is God. In John chapter 20, I want to read this to you. John chapter 20, verse number 30, the Bible says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." You see that? The Bible says that these signs and miracles are written here that we might believe something about Christ, that he is God, that he's the Son of God, that he's the perfect, righteous Son of God, co-equal with his Father in heaven. This thief believed that. This thief believed that this man in the middle was God himself. Do you believe it? You won't go to heaven without it. You won't go to heaven without confessing the lordship of Christ. I say that because in the book of Revelation, what is it that they're doing as they fall down before the Lord? They're worshiping the Lord. In fact, they call him Lord God Almighty. And you won't go to heaven and be standing over in a corner somewhere and say, "I don't believe that. I'm going to set this one out." You're going to believe that Christ is God before you leave this earth. Now, let me say this. Everybody is going to eventually believe that Christ is God, but not everybody is going to be saved. I say that because the Bible tells in Philippians that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But if you wait until you're dead to bow the knee and make that confession, you've waited too late. You see, I've made the confession here in life. And because I've made the confession here, I'll be with him in heaven forever. But if you wait until you die to make the confession, you're on the wrong side of this thing. And the only place for you to go next is a burning hell. And so this thief believed in the deity of Christ. And by the way, this age that we're living in denies this. I encourage you to read 1 John chapter 4 sometime, and you'll find out that the doctrines of devils and the spirit of Antichrist has firmly set in. This doctrine teaches that Christ has not come in the flesh. This teaches that there never was a time when God took upon himself flesh and lived on earth. Well, we know he did. We just came out of the Christmas season. That's what we celebrate when Christ, God himself, came to earth. And so this thief believed what you and I must believe in order to get to heaven, that Christ is God himself. Also, verse number 42, back in Luke chapter 23, the Bible says in verse 42, "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." You must believe the word of God, the word of Christ, before you can get to heaven. Now, how do we see that in verse 42? This thief said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." How did the thief know about the kingdom? How in the world did this thief know to make that kind of request? What was he speaking of? Well, if you read the gospel records, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find that the theme of Christ preaching was the kingdom. He was preaching the kingdom of God is at hand. Even as he went away from the earth in Acts chapter 1, he had been preaching those days after his crucifixion, resurrection, things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And the thief here, as he'd heard Christ preaching the thing concerning the kingdom, he believed it. And that's why he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And if you're going to get to heaven, you've got to believe the Bible. You cannot go to heaven calling God's book a lie. Now, that's a very strong position. I realize some folks will disagree with that. But I believe that if you're to get to heaven, you must agree with God what God says about his word. The Bible says that every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, I believe I have it in the scriptures. I believe that the Bible says all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I believe that. I don't believe that you're going to go to heaven if you deny what God has said about yourself and about him. And so this thief believed in the word of Christ. Let me say this. Truly born again people have no trouble believing the book. Truly saved folks with Christ in their heart, they don't sit around and tear the book apart and say, this passage is inspired, this passage is not inspired. I accept this, I reject that. No, the kind of folks that do that are your skeptics. They're the folks that I'm afraid put scholarship above faith. And there's no room for that kind of thinking in the body of Christ. This thief believed every word of Christ. I realize this position may seem old-fashioned. It may seem sort of unintellectual, but let me just enjoy it. I'm having a good time. I've enjoyed the Bible since I've been saved as an 8-year-old child, and I still love it. So if you don't agree with it, let me enjoy it. And I encourage you to read the book for yourself. If the Lord changes your heart, you'll believe his book as well. Now, finally, let me give you this. As we look back at that verse number 42, this last thing that this thief believed, and this was evidenced by his testimony. Again, verse 42, the thief said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Now think about that. Christ was dying. The thief knew in just a few short moments Christ would be dead. And yet he spoke of Christ as coming into his kingdom. How would that happen? How would a man who's dying ever inherit a kingdom? Well, you see here what happened. This thief believed in the resurrection of Christ. There could have been no way that Christ would have taken his kingdom if he had not rose again. And this thief had remembered what Christ had preached. This thief believed what Christ had preached. And this thief embraced it. And here is the great truth of Christianity. You cannot simply believe that Christ died on a cross. You must believe he was raised again to life eternal. You must believe that there is an empty tomb, and as sure as there was a cradle in Bethlehem, as sure as there was a cross on Calvary, as sure as there was a borrowed tomb, there is an empty tomb. Christ now is at the right hand of his Father in heaven, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. And again here, this is something. If you have your Bible, I want to give you one last passage this morning in Romans chapter 10. This says it clearer than I could. This is authoritative because this is directly from the Word of God. Romans chapter number 10. The Bible says, verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see that? You must believe that God hath raised Christ from the dead to be saved. Logically, that implies that if you don't believe God raised Christ from the dead, you cannot be saved. And again, truly born-again people have no trouble admitting Christ is alive. What a terrible thing it would be to actually believe that your Savior is still dead. Who would you pray to? Who would you go to for comfort? A dead man cannot hear prayers. A dead man cannot give comfort. But you see, this thief believed in the resurrection of Christ. This thief believed that though this man was dying now, there would come a day when he would live again. And certainly that was true. And the third day, Christ rose again. He'll never die. And because of his resurrection, we can have hope. We can look forward to the resurrection of our bodies. And we can look forward to having a glorified body just like the one Christ now possesses. And let me say that again. That's a strong position, I realize. But the Bible makes it clear. No one gets to heaven without a belief in the resurrection of Christ. Now, how are we doing? I've given you five things here that this thief on the cross believed. I've given you five things here, and keep in mind this thief had no theological training. He was not a scribe or a Pharisee. He was a common, ordinary thief. But yet he believed enough to save the whole world. He believed enough to secure his place in paradise. I believe I'll see the thief when I die and go to heaven, and I believe that he'll, if I could talk to him, I believe he'd say, those were the best moments of my life, and I was hanging there dying. Because I had showed to me the Son of God. I was acquainted with Christ, and he saved me. And so again, quickly, what did this thief believe? He believed what God said about his sin. He believed that Christ was sinless and perfect. He believed that Christ was God. He believed the Word of Christ, and he believed in the resurrection of Christ. All these things this thief believed, and it was enough to save him. If we fall short of that, I'm afraid we'll be sorely disappointed when Christ turns us away from the kingdom. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day, for these dear folks listening. I pray that the word would have been profitable to them, and I pray that you'd bless their lives. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for listening. Let me encourage you again to write to us if the broadcast has been a blessing. We're at Truth Baptist Church, P.O. Box 96, West Salem, Ohio, 44287. And again, I encourage you to come to any and all of our services. We have a website, www.tbcwestsalem.com. Join us here next week at 10 o'clock on WNCO. Thank you, and may God bless you.